This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Students at colleges and universities around Wisconsin and the country are generally back on campus and in class by this point in September. For freshmen, it's often their first real taste of freedom, a time when they're becoming adults and breaking free of limitations they've had growing up at home.
It's a time of experimentation for many, with alcohol, street drugs, and with sex. And for the college and university environments, the sexual landscape in the 21st century is a complex one, with the hookup culture coexisting with greater awareness of sexual assault and the importance of consent.
Writer Vanessa Gregoriadis tries to navigate these shifting waters in a new book called Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. We should note that this is obviously a topic that might not be right for younger listeners. Vanessa Gregoriadis, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thanks so much for having me.
So can we address something head on at the start? There was a little hesitation I had in taking on this interview, primarily because I am, a man, and men are generally seen on a particular side of this kind of fraught environment. What did you see as the place of men in this conversation as you started digging into it?
I think it's rapidly changing, actually, the place of men in the conversation about sexual assault, particularly on campus, because there are so many guys, straight guys, guys who like to date girls, who are opening up to the reality that, girls in college have a really different sexual playing field than guys do. And only by having guys as allies are we going to be able to fix the problem. It's like a two-person dance. Got to do it together.
Well, and this is both a very easy book to read for, your compelling writing style, but a really tough book to read for the picture it paints of the politics of sex on college campuses. It has been a while since you were a college student, and I was a college student, to be honest. What were the biggest surprises you found when you went back, both to your alma mater, but more broadly to college campuses in general?
Yes, I went back to college campuses. I was there about 20 years after I graduated. So I figured, as a mother of two, who better to explore sex on campus today other than me? I think that the hookup culture, right, which all of us know that phrase, and sociologists think that started in the 90s. So when I was in school in Connecticut, that was beginning to be the way that college students interacted romantically. Hookup meaning, kind of no strings. Oh, we'll just see if we both go to this party and we end up chatting, then maybe we'll go home with each other. But I don't really need anything from you and you don't need anything from me, right? And that is now really the norm on college campuses in terms of the beginning of dating. Of course, dating still happens. Of course, people still have long-term boyfriends and girlfriends. But at the beginning, there's very little of like, hey, can I bring you flowers and take you out to a movie tonight? It's more like the Netflix and chill, right? That's a shorthand for what's going on.
Right. It seems like the whole nature of friendships has kind of changed. I mean, even people who aren't necessarily thinking of dating or were even thinking of hooking up, there seems like this sexually charged nature to friendships that a generation ago there might not have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's friends with benefits, and part of friendship involves like, well, are we going to ever hook up? Are we going to hook up or not? Because there's the friendship zone and then there's the hooking up zone and which side are you on and how do I categorize this person? But there's also like a lot of blurriness there of like, oh, okay, well now we hooked up, well we can be friends after. I think it's all really very vague. And that was something that I found really striking because when you look at millennials, they're super planners, right? They want to get into a good school. They want to do well at that school. They're, focused on like maybe not moving out of their mom or dad's house and getting a great job, but focused on their social media pages and how they can make them cool too. you know, and I spent a lot of time at Syracuse in the sororities, and you see these girls who really are, you know, top of the class, perfectly dressed, the sweatshirt with the Greek letters has no stains, like everything is the Google calendar, and I've got 12 extracurriculars. And then, you know, their sex lives are totally vague. And, well, I don't know, I'm going to kind of do whatever the guy wants, and maybe I'll hook up, and maybe I won't, and, you know, maybe I'll go all the way if he wants to. I said I wouldn't, but then I showed up that night, and he wanted to, so I did. So there's a lot of kind of unresolved feelings, I think, around sex, particularly in this generation in college.
Well, and they're organized, and they're driven in a lot of ways, but they are still, you know, 18 to 21 year olds.
Right, right.
I mean, these are not fully formed people yet.
Yeah, they're post adolescents, and they don't have like a totally. I mean, they're academically they're able to perform like adults, but emotionally they're still in a different place.
You know, so there are some people, and I gather you are one of them, that say there needs to be a way to add some nuance to the equation, that it doesn't necessarily make sense to put confused hookups in the same category as, you know, serial predators and gang rapes. And are there college campuses, as you got into it, that you saw having any success in addressing the gray areas?
Yeah, I do think a lot of college campuses that have adopted this yes means yes standard, which to a lot of adults sounds ridiculous, right? We all grew up with, if the woman does not say no, then no rape occurred, right? It is the woman's responsibility to say, I don't want to do this, push the guy away, something, you know, really dramatic has to happen there. Or a no, a shouted no, right? And now colleges want kids to think of it in a slightly different way. They want them to ask, do you want to have sex? That is the way that they want an encounter to proceed, so that the onus is not really on the girls to say no.
Well, and you talked with a number of college-age men or boys who have been accused of sexual assault. How did you view their stories when it came to, you know, these questions of things like affirmative consent, as they call it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is that the college-age boys who are accused of assault, that, you know, largely are who then take their stories to the media, right, are largely accused of these gray zones encounters. You know, you don't get a lot of physically violent rapists coming to the media and saying, I didn't do it. But those encounters, you know, it becomes really tough, because as much as a lot of feminists would like to say, you can't reduce this to a he said, she said, well, but you actually, like, if you're looking at it like a police detective, it looks a lot like a he said, she said to the police detective, right? There's very little physical evidence. You know, usually not injuries, maybe even a string of text messages before the encounter that involve flirtation, maybe on social media, maybe on Snapchat. And so it's really tough, because you do feel for these boys. At the same time, you don't know for sure if they've done it or haven't. Really in a mystery zone there, I think, in a lot of cases.
Right. I mean, I think you quote, you know, Niels Bohr's principle of great truths, you know, that there are situations that exist in which both the accuser and the accused, like, feel honestly like they're telling the truth here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, people who study this problem really think, like, we are caught in a moment of vast transition, not only in the way women are perceived professionally or socially, in terms of women being breadwinners or taking on roles outside the home. You know, on college campuses, more girls are graduating than boys, right? But we're also in this vast transition in terms of the way that sexual dynamics are, you know, happening in the bedroom. And there are boys who are kind of caught in this time of transition, and we need to be fair to them, right? We need to say, well, you know, there are some cases where the boy will say, I truly didn't assault her, and the girl will truly feel assaulted, and they could both actually be right.
what might seem like sexual exploration to some might, you know, seem like sexual assault to others.
There is a fine line. At the same time, you know, there are a lot of guys who are stepping over the line.
Sure.
Like particularly girls who are really drunk to the point of not being able to speak English. You know, if you are flirting with that girl at a party and then taking her home, like, I think college students are now pretty much coming into alignment that that doesn't make you cool. Like, you just took a girl with beer goggles home. Like, great. That was really easy, huh? You took advantage of her, you know? Whether or not she's going to go to the police and try to get you locked up for it, or go to her campus administrator and try to get you kicked out of school, and where between, you know, being very drunk and aware of what she's doing and being to the point of incapacitation, which is like, you know, blacked out, maybe certainly passed out, right? I don't know. Those are hard questions to answer. But what we do know is that the social norm around taking that girl home, you know, has really changed in terms of college guys not like high-fiving the guy the next day and saying, wow, that was awesome. You nailed that girl. Like, that's not cool anymore. I think that's a big deal. And I think that, you know, kids should be commended for thinking through a lot of these problems on their own, you know, because they're not just listening to what the college deans are telling them, right? You know, they're really thinking about it. So, you know, changes, good changes are happening, you know, and I think we need to give them a little, you know, bit of applause for that.
Do you think colleges can address the issue of sexual politics like this without also getting into the issue of alcohol and casual drug use?
No, I don't. I really don't. Because I think a lot of the assaults that are happening, and they're always happening this time of year, September, late August, early September, between, you know, two people who don't know each other very well, who just arrived on campus. It's something like 88% of all gang rape victims on college campuses are freshmen. And like over three quarters of them are drunk. And either the guys will try to give alcohol to the girl and get the girl drunk because, you know, that's thought of as an easier way to get laid, or he'll really be a predator and really like trying to get the girl drunk. So, you know, really targeting her, which is horrible. Or the girl will be really drunk to the point where she may kind of wander into some guy's room at 4 a.m. who lives two floors down from her, who she just thought was cute. And maybe she just wants to go and like giggle and, you know, make some jokes. And, you know, from his point of view, you just came into my room at 4 a.m. Like, I think I know what you want, you know? And so he may push boundaries that she doesn't want to have pushed. So a lot of this weird stuff going on at the beginning of school, and a lot of it is connected to alcohol and drug use among, you know, kids who maybe haven't used that stuff that much at home. Right. And they don't know when to stop drinking. Right. Like, they don't know, like, 20 rum and cokes, not a good idea. Hold on, you know. So.
Well, and so would you make the point that as colleges are bringing kids in for orientation and they're talking about things like affirmative consent, they ought to also be talking about things like alcohol and drug use?
Yeah, I think they are talking about all of that, but they're talking about it separately. I think they have to discuss, like, consent is golden and don't drink your consent away. Don't, you know, after 9 drinks, a woman has a much higher probability of being assaulted. Now, 9 drinks for a woman, for an 18-year-old girl, well, that's a lot of drinks, you know? So I think that is a really important part of talking about, okay, go out, have a couple drinks. You know, this is college. Your mommy and daddy aren't looking over your shoulder, right? You're a big girl now. We all know that. But, you know, don't go somewhere with a bunch of people you don't know and continue to drink through the whole night. When you feel yourself getting out of control, go home. You know, I think that's really important.
Do you feel like you came out of the 3 years of reporting that you did for this book with any more clarity than you had when you went into it?
I think this is an incredibly complicated problem, you know, and it is based on longstanding norms of how women and men should interact, and the college campus being a place where you just meet so many fellow classmates who are really strangers during the course of a night, and you just trust all of them because you think they're your friends because they're your classmates, even though you don't really know them. You know, there's so many inputs here from pop culture telling kids that they need to have sex all the time. You know, that makes them cool. So many different kinds of inputs. But what I really felt like optimistic about were the actual kids I met. Like, the kids are all right. Like, they're smart. They're articulate on this subject. They're thinking this issue through. They're like, you know, they're not like these iPhone addicted droids that we think of. And like, while they may like sit at your kitchen table looking at their phones, like, you know, when they did the interviews with me, they didn't look at their phones and they were totally engaged and bringing in all sorts of books that they had read in school and ideas that they had gotten from different films they had seen. And, you know, this generation is going to be fine. They just, you know, need to set clear boundaries, think about, you know, what they want to do each night, and not just like leave a lot up to chance and then find themselves in risky situations that they can't get out of.
It's so funny. I was thinking back to my days in college, and I distinctly remember one of my parents taking a picture of me in like 1990 next to a sign that seemed really risque. It advertised campus condom days, and that seems so quaint today.
It's actually true. Yeah, you know, you see a lot about consent these days and not a lot about condoms. I mean, it's interesting, but it's kind of one's replaced the other a little bit.
Well, Vanessa Gregoriadis, it's easy to see why this is such a charged issue, but thanks for leading us through it somewhat.
Thank you.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be.
Vanessa Gregoriadis' book is just out. It's called Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. We reached her in New York.